mark your books at number 285. 285, that will be our invitation song.
Good evening and welcome. At this time, we want to open up God's Word and study from it and try and make ourselves better prepared to be servants of Him. We're coming near the year end of 2018. Another year has gone by this side of eternity. And there's a lot of things that we can reflect on as we end another year. But as you probably came to realize from the songs that Ron was leading tonight, this topic I'd like to talk about tonight is heaven. When's the last time you thought really hard about heaven? About the fact that that is our ultimate goal as a child of God. And what I'd like to do tonight is remind us of some things. A lot of these things are not new, but things we need to remember as we go through our walk in life. Because Satan will try and defeat us by making us forget what awaits us if we're faithful to our Father. There's a song by the music group Diamond Rio. It's entitled One More Day. The song starts out, says, "Last night I had a strangest dream. A wish was granted just for me. It could be for anything. I didn't wish for money or a mansion in Malibu. I simply wished for one more day with you." All of us who have lost close loved ones have felt that pain. The separation from this physical world, from that loved one. And I'd love to be able to talk to my dad one more day. But you know, the Bible promises us something even more better than this life. And that's what we want to look at tonight. What God has promised us if we're obedient to His will. Turn with me, if you would, to Titus, the first chapter. One of the things I think it's important to do as we talk about this topic is to just show from the very beginning that this is something that God has promised to us. In verse 2 of chapter 1 of Titus, "In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but has in due time manifested His word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior." Now, as we talk about heaven, we're going to be talking a lot about eternal life, because that is where we will spend eternal life. If we're unfaithful, we're going to spend eternal damnation in hell. We're all going to be living eternally. It's just a question of whether we're going to be in the presence of our Father or whether we're going to be with Satan. But God, who cannot lie, and that's something we stress here because it's important. When God has promised something, He always follows through on it. God has promised us that if we are faithful to Him, we will have eternal life. In Romans, the 14th chapter, verses 10 through 12, Paul, writing to the church at Rome, said that all of us are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things we've done. So none of us are going to escape this judgment. And obviously the question is, where do we want to be? In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and said, "If we only have hope in this life, we're the men most pitiable. But we have hope in Christ of something even better." Now, don't get me wrong, God has provided a beautiful creation here. There's many beautiful things that we can enjoy here. But it pales in comparison to one day being able to see our Father. If you would turn to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. As many of you know, the Hebrews 11 is a chapter dealing with faith. And in verses 24 through 26, we're going to talk about Moses. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Moses didn't, he wanted to go to the promised land in Palestine, yes, but he was looking for something even greater than that, the reward that we can all have in heaven. In Matthew, the fifth chapter, as Jesus is giving that Sermon on the Mount, in chapter 5, he is talking about these different things we call the Beatitudes. And he talks in verses 11 and 12 about those who are persecuted and what will happen for them. He says, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." That reward in heaven is promised for us. Many times we can be beaten down by this world. It can be difficult. Satan knows our weaknesses and he's going to hit us on them. But we have been promised, if we're able to overcome, that we have that reward waiting for us. Going back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 6, the Hebrew writer makes a statement about our Father where he says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Once again, the Hebrew writer is emphasizing this fact that God will reward us if we are faithful to him. But we have to have faith. That's part of the recipe, if you want to call it that, of how we can be saved from our sins. Matthew 10 and verse 42, when Jesus is talking about the things we might do, and he talks about that even if we give a cup of cold water, we will not lose our reward. Even something small as that. If we're trying to do good and help others and serve others, we won't lose that reward. Turn with me, if you will, to Colossians, the first chapter. In Colossians, the first chapter, in verses 3 through 6. Paul, writing to this church at Colossae, says, "We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel." They knew about that hope. The church at Colossae took great comfort in that. And as we've discussed in many of our classes that we've been studying lately, we talk about the persecution that the brethren have gone through at this time. Many were killed. Many lost everything. And yet they remembered that hope that they have through Jesus. In the book of Philippians, chapter 3, the Apostle Paul talks about another way of describing this eternal life that we can have in heaven, where he says in verse 12 of Philippians 3, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And it is a prize. The grand prize of them all. To be able to be with our Father. And see those loved ones that have faithfully served our Father as well. To be with them once again. If you would turn to Galatians, the sixth chapter. In Galatians, the sixth chapter, verse 8, Paul says, "For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." So as we sow, what we will also reap. If we sow to the Spirit, if we're willing to live our lives in obedience to God's will, we have everlasting life promised to us. Turn with me to 1 John, the 5th chapter. In 1 John, the 5th chapter, in verses 11 and 12, John writes, "And this is the testimony that God has given us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." And we see once again, where is life found? Where is eternal life found? It's found in our Lord, Jesus Christ. We just studied this passage, I think Wednesday night, in Romans chapter 6. If you would turn to verses 22 and 23. We a lot of times focus on verse 23, but in verse 22 it says, "But now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and in the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." That wonderful gift that he's promised to any that are willing to be obedient. In John, the 3rd chapter, verses 16 and 17, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Once again, our faith in him and obedience, we can have everlasting life. The Apostle Paul, when he was talking to Timothy, in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verses 6 through 8, let's turn there because, once again, this is at the end of Paul's life, and he makes some very bold statements, but yet statements that we, if we live faithfully, can make as well. "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." He knew he was going to die physically very soon. "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Once again, the hope of eternal life, that crown of righteousness that we will enjoy as his children in heaven, we can have that confidence like the Apostle Paul if we're willing to serve God as he would have us to. But you know, heaven is also called something else. Heaven is called our home. We all have our physical home here where we live. But yet, as Brother Allen read from John the 14th chapter, if you would turn there once again, Jesus talked about a home that he was going to prepare for us to give us great comfort. He's talking to his apostles here, and he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." None of us physically saw Jesus as he walked on the earth. But all of us have the opportunity to see him in heaven if we're willing to serve him faithfully. He's gone to prepare that for us. We read in the New Testament of all the different things that our Lord could do, all the miracles that he performed. There's nothing that he can't do. And when he promised to go build us a home, an eternal home, He will follow through with that, and we know that it will be wonderful. But we're also, this also is called an inheritance. If you would turn with me to 1 Peter, the first chapter, let's look at verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. And if you notice that wording there, the song we sang, Where the Roses Never Fade, reminds us of that. The things in this life, the seasons that come and go each year, not going to happen anymore. The light is going to be provided by our Lord and his glory and his majesty. And seeing our Father as he truly is. In Hebrews, going back to Hebrews the 11th chapter, talking about these individuals that had been so faithful to God, the Hebrew writer talks about the fact that they understood that this is not our final home. That we're just pilgrims and strangers here because we look for something better. Verse 13 of Hebrews 11, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Once again, the things that we might go through in this life pale in comparison to the glory that awaits us in heaven. There are some verses that we'd like to close with that talk about specifically some descriptions other than the ones we've already had of heaven. Turn with me, if you would, to Revelation, the 21st chapter. And I want you to think as we read these verses how wonderful it sounds when we think about the things that we go through here in this life. John writes, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them, and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. How many times in a day do we go through some of these things? The older we get, the more our body starts to break down. We have a lot more aches and pains. Sometimes it can be chronic. This life can be very sorrowful at times when you know that that loved one is never coming back to this life. And yet we are promised here. John writes here that when we get to heaven, we're not going to cry anymore. We're not going to shed any more tears. We're not going to have any more pain. All those things that might have afflicted us in this life are gone. And we can be with God and he with us. In verses 10 through 27 of the 21st chapter, I'm not going to read all of those, but I would encourage you to read them, this description. to try and give us an idea through the mind of a physical man what heaven is like. The idea of the streets of gold. The idea of the most precious jewels that you can imagine being everywhere. The brilliance of the light that comes from our Father and our Savior. And being able to praise them for all eternity. I would encourage you to read that because it's a very beautiful description. There are so many things that talk about how it's arrayed. And then finally, if you would, turn to 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, verses 7 through 9. Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica, is trying to give them comfort because they thought that Jesus was coming back really soon, and they didn't understand that there wasn't going to be a sign, shall we say, that was going to let them know, because Jesus was going to come as the thief in the night. But they were worried about what would happen to those of their loved ones who had gone on before, who had died. Let's back up to verse 6 of 2 Thessalonians 1. For since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire taking vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. But in verse 6, we're going to have rest. You ever not been able to sleep at night? No matter how hard you try, you can't get to sleep. You've got 1,000 things on your mind. You don't know what's going to happen the very next day. And yet, when we go home, we're going to have eternal rest. I don't know about you, but that really excites me. Satan will have no way of doing anything to us when we get there. We don't have to worry about him anymore. So when we say goodbye to our loved ones in this life that we know have served our Father faithfully, it's just a temporary goodbye. But we know we can see him again one day and be able to talk to God and talk to Jesus and all those other faithful children of God that have gone on before us. How wonderful it is that God has promised us such a beautiful place. But as we've read from these verses from his word tonight, it is promised only to those that are willing to be obedient to his will. If you've never done that, we would encourage you to take that first step. Come in obedience to his call. Be buried in baptism for the remission of your sins. And you can know that when you lay your head down at night, that you're going to be in a right relationship with our Father. Maybe you've already done that. Maybe you've allowed Satan to make you forget about how wonderful heaven is and that glorious reward that awaits us. Maybe you just need some prayers from us for something that you might be going through. If there's anything we can do that the Lord will allow, we'd ask you to come as we stand and sing.
Thy call, sweetness.